I should say it. Come on, you can do it. Y'all know it's Christmas vacation. We have to say it. It's good times. We're so thankful that you are here with us, wherever you're watching throughout the week around the world as we continue our series, Light of the World, Light of the World. And that's what we get to celebrate. We just get to celebrate that in worship, talking about Jesus. And what I love about the song we just sang is how the government is upon his shoulders. It's not his. It's not the government of this earth. It's his kingdom that's being built. And this is what this season is all about. So today, before we get diving in, last week we talked about Christmas trees and we had some fun. So let me tell you, I've shared this before. How many of us, I want to tell you what your Christmas tree says about you. Dun, dun, dun. Silence. Okay, how many folks have clear lights only? I'm one of these people, but I don't know if I fit this. What your Christmas tree says about you is you ask people to take the shoes off when they come in your house. I don't know if that's completely true, because I don't do that. But that's what a 2018 survey said, that's the case. How many of us have multicolored lights? All right, you're an extrovert. That's what that means, is you're an extrovert. Normally, how many of us have blinking lights? You have ADHD, is what that means. That's probably where we go. All right. So you have that. How many of us have homemade ornaments? No one, but some. It probably means you have kids or like really, you're really close to nieces and nephews if you have homemade ornaments. How many of us have strong popcorn, like real popcorn? One. Yeah, two of you. Yeah, you do, right? Jesus loves you. That means that you really love decorating. That's what I'm going to say. I don't know what it means. That's all I had. I don't know that. There wasn't anything on that. How many of us, okay, this is going to sound bad on church on a Sunday morning, so you got to laugh. You know we're going to have fun. How many of you like red or silver balls only on your tree? Right? Just a few. It means you want to live in a department store. That's what that apparently means. I don't know why that is, but it is what it is, okay? So there's that one. How many of you have a yellow star or an angel on top of your tree? That means you're a traditionalist. You like to keep things going. You're very tradition when it comes to Christmas. How many of you had to cut the top of your tree off? Clark W. Griswold, little fool, a lot of sap. Nope, that just means you didn't measure correctly. That's where it is. You didn't cut the top. All right, so how many of you have a vague evergreen scent in your house? No one. That means you bought a real tree that was healthy. That's none of us. But how many of you have an overpowering evergreen scent? That means you sprayed something or you got a plug-in, you got an artificial tree. Now, one last question when it comes to that. How many of you have a funny smell in your house near your tree? No one. It means something's dead in there or squirrel. If you know, you know. If you don't, you need to be watching Christmas Vacation because it is what it is. We're looking for Cousin Eddie. He used to eat those things, but since he's watched his cholesterol, he's backed off of that. So wherever you are, there are some things that happen with your Christmas tree. So last week we kind of talked about this, and I just want to build this in because here's your Christmas trivia. So many of us right now, we celebrate like Victorian-era Christmas tree. That's why we have it. Biltmore House. All right? There's candles on a tree and presents in the tree. Let me tell you about what happened on Christmas and how this used to actually work compared to now. Believe it or not, parents would go, the tree would be undecorated all year until Christmas Eve. And mom and dad would go and decorate the tree while Santa came, and they would place the presents in the tree, and that's why you have candles on a tree and it didn't burn the house down. There was enough candle, and when the candle burned out, that was it. That's why nothing burned down. So on Christmas Eve, it got decorated while the littles were in their bed dreaming of sugar plums dancing in their head. The stockings hung by the chimney with care, if you will. And then Christmas morning, everyone saw the Christmas tree. Now, parents, you got enough to do. You know what I'm talking about. So how in the world did you decorate a Christmas tree? So just saying, wherever you are, that's the traditional thing. So whenever you're doing your Christmas trivia, just know if you don't have your tree decorated yet, you're a traditionalist. You're waiting till Christmas Eve, and you're going to get it done then, and it'll work out. So that's the way it used to be. So when it comes to that, this is why I'm saying that, because it's so important for us. The reason we're having Christmas PJs on is we are looking forward to Christmas Day, and that's kind of what we're talking about with the light of the world. Now, before we get where we're going, our anchor verse every week throughout this series, basically where we're going to start every week, is in John 8, chapter 12, and it is what Jesus is saying here about being the light of the world. And it says this: when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light of life. So today what we're going to be learning through when it comes to that is Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Now, I know that may not sound like, okay, isn't this like an Easter thing? But no. See, Christmas leads to Easter, and it points to Easter, doesn't it? So we're going to talk about the Good Shepherd. And so wherever you are today, if you got your Bible, we're going to be in a familiar Christmas passage. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now for the traditionalists, the Advent traditionalists, don't throw something, Rotten Tomatoes or Christmas tree cakes at me, because I'm in Luke 2, and where we're going to be is a little bit early of what you're used to. But we're going to be in Luke 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and get to Luke 2, start in verse 8. If you don't have a Bible, we say it every week, we'd love to give you one for free. But our Vine production team, Zach Candler, make sure that every week it is on the screen wherever you're watching around the world. Now, I will give him, yes, we got to give him the props. And I will say, I send him misspellings all the time and he fixes them. So I'm so thankful for him, because apparently I don't do spell check very well. That being said, with spell check, there was a show on, I didn't rest well the other night before we get there. It's called The Santa Clauses on Disney Plus. I'm just saying, I grew up with that. Tim Allen was there, and he has stepped down from being Santa Claus. The elves put on a farewell surprise, and instead of it saying, "We love you, Santa," it said, "We love you, Satan." Spelling matters, y'all. It's the same letters. I'm just saying, "We love you, Satan." They foosball's the devil. Anyway, wherever you are right now, spelling matters. That's why I'm thankful for Zach. But also, wherever you're watching around the world today, maybe you like to do things digitally, I want to throw out in front of you, it's not a promotion. It's an actual way for you to connect with us. It's a really great tool. Go to thevine.tv/app. It'll ask for your phone number, and it will send you the direct link to our free Vine Church app. You can send in prayer requests, follow along with us throughout the week, connect with us, see our Vine Sowers update. It'll send you alerts for things like Spur. I mean, it's going to be awesome. So make sure that you download that for free today. I promise you we don't track you, because I'm not smart enough to do that. So wherever you are, if I could, I would. I would just want to, they're at Krispy Kreme. Hey, for Sunday, can you, I'm just saying, wherever you are, we can't do that, but we would love for you to connect with us wherever you're watching around the world. Maybe like in Tennessee or something. I don't know. I'm just putting a state out there, wherever you're watching. So, if you know, you know. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 15 says this. And I will put this out here up front, too, when I say misspellings. Written on my heart is KJV and NKJV, so sometimes I may not be right in the NIV line, so forgive me, okay? And imagine me with my Linus blanket. I mean, that's next week for Christmas characters. Anyway, we'll work that out. It's either that or cousin. We'll figure that out. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 15 says this. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Do not be afraid. I bring you glad tidings, or I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior will be born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So the shepherds, we talk about this. If you've grown up in church at all, you know the shepherds were the outcasts. As a matter of fact, there are Bedouins that live right now in Jerusalem outside in tents. They raise sheep still. Shepherds were just seen as kind of the dregs of society. They were, I would like to equate it to perhaps, just, I'm getting older, so yeah, it's, go figure, like the street sweepers, the trash men. That's what the shepherds were. They came out when nobody else was around to take care of the sheep. Nobody really saw. You didn't see them until you needed something. And what is believed is actually these shepherds, the tradition is a lot of times, these shepherds were actually raising the Passover lamb when the angels came before them. So the Passover lamb, if you remember, we know what that is, right? Like the Israelites were stuck in Egypt. The angel of death comes. God is setting them free. They have the Passover lamb. They eat the Passover lamb. For those, I know, animal rights, just calm down, it's all right. They put the blood of the lamb on the door, and the angel of death passes over them. And the Passover lamb was there for the atonement of the Israelites' sin. Like, they looked forward to that every year, because that is how they could have atonement for them. So think about this. The shepherds are in their fields, watching over their flocks by night, and all of a sudden, the religious system they have to be set free from their sin, they are watching all over, and an angel of the Lord comes and says, "Go see the Savior," and they're like, "I don't have to raise the Passover lamb anymore. I can go see the Passover lamb that's atoned for me forever." And so for each and every one of us in this season, that's where we're stuck. Some of us are looking at an old system, an old religion. We're trying to prove our worth, trying to prove that we're a good person, trying to prove our love instead of resting in the love of Christ and letting it bubble up and overflow in us. And that's how we'll show love to the world around us. So many times we think that we have to be in this system. We got to get this checkbox right. And I will tell you, I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. We all get stuck. But in the end, for us, what I would love for us to know is instead of being stuck in religion, Jesus came at Christmas and said, we don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't need to worry about religion. We don't have to worry about checking off boxes, checking off what we have to do. Instead, we just get to lean in and rest and who we were created to be. And so for each and every one of us, what I love about this and the Good Shepherd and seeing what Jesus has for us is he comes to the shepherds. Christmas is open for all of us. The gift of Christmas in Christ is open for us all. Think about that. He's in this space and place. He goes to the shepherds first. Well, we'll talk about the shepherds here in a minute. He goes to the shepherds first. He goes to those that people have forgotten. He goes to those that are just no good. Like, they feel like they're no good. They feel like they're hopeless. They feel like they're helpless. And so for us, that's what we get to share with the world, is how Jesus has come for us all. To the addict, to the prisoner, to the orphan, to the widow, to the one that thinks there is no hope. Today, we can share that Jesus is there, and that's what the angels are announcing. So, sorry about that, my head's elsewhere, but I know Jesus is over it. So, right now, that situation we're praying for, wherever you are, you know who I'm talking about. So, John 10, if you got your Bible, let's flip over. John 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 10, verse 14 through 18 is where we're going to go, because what does this look like? So, remember, the shepherds were there watching over their flocks by night, watching over their fields by night. These angels come. What I love about the New King James, I didn't say there for a moment, forgive me. My favorite part of the New King James version of that is Luke 2, is it says that the shepherds were sore afraid. You ever been sore afraid? What I mean by that is they got a splinter on your hand, like it's sore afraid. That's how scared they were. And instead of being stuck in their fear, they move in faith to see the Messiah and see what is going on with that. So John 10, verse 14 through 18 says this, if you've got your Bible, this is Jesus himself speaking, and this is what we want to lean into today. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. So look at this. So Jesus, he is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd for us. He is shepherding us to something. More on that in a second. But the good shepherd. So it's no coincidence David, a man after God's own heart, is a shepherd to start. They show up to the shepherds first. And here Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Before that, Jesus lays in John 10. If you look, he lays out the difference between someone who is hired to take care of the sheep versus someone who is the good shepherd that never leaves the sheep. And the reason that this is perfect for us at Christmas, I feel like, is for every season we're in, sometimes we forget that Jesus is the good shepherd and is shepherding us through something. He's shepherding us through something. This time of year, like you look at the shepherds in the field, they were lost in the darkness, they were lost in hopelessness, they were lost in fear, they were lost in a space, in a place where it looked like they were stuck in a system that they can never break out of. They were in the hamster wheel of works. All of society had rejected them. They were in a space and place where they felt like it didn't matter. And so for you, I want to bring you to something that is familiar. Whether you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus, you're going to know where I'm going. And right now, you're probably having the Holy Spirit lead you to it right now. You're going to know what we're going to walk through when we talk about what a shepherd leads us through. So one more time, if you got your Bible, I want you to cut your Bible in half and go to the 23rd Psalm. When you cut it in half, you're going to land somewhere in Psalm. And when you do that, let's go to the 23rd Psalm. And this is where I will tell you, I promise you, I'm not changing the words of the Bible in my heart. It is a little, it may be that NKJV or the KJV, so it may look a little different on your screen with the NIV than I'm saying, but I promise it is the same thing. You can fact check me on that. It's just written on my heart. Now, many of you have heard this at a funeral. Just be honest. This is what you normally hear at a funeral before someone is at the very end, the pastor will come and they will lead you in the 23rd Psalm. And the reason this matters at Christmas is, see, if Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, then that means we're surrendering all to us. Don't we want to know what he's leading us to? Like, if somebody says, I'm driving the bus, I just want to know where we're stopping. Like, is there going to be a Buc-ee's on the drive? Like, is there going to be something that we got? Like, where are we stopping? So let's look the seasons. Let's look what Jesus is shepherding us to over 1,000 years before these angels show up and say that the Messiah is here. So if you got your Bible again, the whole Psalm 23, here we go. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want is how I know it, but it'll say, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He make me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Excuse me. He leads me in names of pastures for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Sorry, we're figuring out some stuff. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So wherever you are right now in this 23rd Psalm, I just want us to look at the seasons we're walking through and the season that we have, and this is it. So I'm sorry the words changed a little bit. Sorry for a little hiccups. I'm trying to make sure you see the right thing. So at the beginning, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So when the Lord is our shepherd, he is our full provision. He is all that we need. He is what we need. He is what we long for. He is the thing that we are searching for. And so that when it says the Lord is my shepherd, what I want us to be able to understand and be reminded of is, as a sheep, what do sheep bring into the world besides themselves? They lack everything. Can they shear themselves? I can't cut my own hair. I've tried. It ain't pretty. So like, where you are, I can't shear myself. If I shear myself, I'm gonna blame Peter because my ear got cut off. I mean, that goes all the way back to Thursday night. If you know, we can tie it all together. But all that to say, like, sheep bring nothing to the world. They need a shepherd. They need something to guard them. They need something to provide for them. Right now in this season, I wonder if we trust Jesus as our provision. I know I struggle with it because it's the gift-giving season, right? Like, Macy's better have it, or Walmart better have it in stock. Walgreens better, somebody better have it in stock. Somebody better have it. I mean, I know the shelves are stacked with Gatorade because we don't mess with that mess. Powerade's the way to roll. But wherever you are, like, when we look at this all the way through, do we trust Jesus as our provision? Because if we do, Christmas is every day. We get to be like Buddy the Elf every day. Like, instead of it being Santa, it's Jesus. We get to be that excited about that all the time. But I will tell you, there's no coincidence. This is the Holy Spirit hit me with this week. There's no coincidence that New Year's resolutions happen a week after Easter. I want you to think about why. Because on December 26th, Christmas was unsatisfying if it was just the gifts under the tree. You're tired of it. You need something new to start the new year. It's no coincidence. And without Jesus, that's what you're going to search for. He isn't your provision. So where we are right now, I want us to say, is Jesus our provision? Because here's the thing. If you really want to know why we sin, it's because we don't believe that Jesus is our provision. We aren't content with what he's given us. And that's just the truth of it. And so we take it in our own hands. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Let's continue on. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. So let me ask you this. As you've seen this even play out now, when you are stressed out, how many of us sleep when we're stressed out? I can't. Like, I don't know about you. I'm wired. Like, once it happens, like, I will tell you, for me, after about 2 o'clock in the morning, I ain't sleeping. If I'm up that late, I'm just might as well just go ahead and I can't drink coffee right now, but might as well go ahead and get some caffeine or do something, because I'm not going to go to sleep. Like, my eyes aren't going to close. It's just not going to happen. But in Christ, if he is our provision, he makes us lie down in green pastures. I've shared this many times before, so forgive me, but green pastures take work, right? What's some of the best fertilizer to grow a green pasture? Poop, some crap. So think about this. What if all the crap in your life is the green pasture Jesus is using to grow you in the season that you're in? So much so that it's stinky when it gets there, but through Christ it'll be fresh, green, and provision enough for you to rest in. That's hard to believe in the middle of it, ain't it? Because I'm going to tell you what, it stinks. It stinks, don't it? It stinks. But with Jesus as our good shepherd, we can get through it. Let's continue on. Look what he said. He leads me beside still waters. You know, how many of us like just hearing the rush of a wave crashing in or the stream of a river? If you ever go to like a psychologist or a psychiatrist, most of the time that's where they're going to tell you to try to be at peace is to hear rivers. And we talked in Ezekiel how that played out a couple months ago and all that crazy stuff, crazy awesome stuff, and his crazy visions, but seeing Jesus through it. So I just want to ask you, in the bustleness of your schedule and your season, are you by still quiet waters? I can tell you, sometimes I don't. I just look and I'm like, there ain't no way. This ain't peaceful, Lord. This ain't still. This is a class 5 rapid. Like, and I'm riding an inner tube down it. Like, I mean, I ain't even on the inner tube. I'm hanging on with a hand. Ain't got no life jacket. It's out here flailing. Like, Jesus came to give us still waters and lead us to still waters. He refresheth our soul. When's the last time you got refreshed? Have you ever just been really thirsty? Like, really thirsty. You need something to drink. Like, I'm about to pass out. Like, I'm all skin and bone. I don't know if I've ever said I'm on skin and bone, but, you know, I am sometimes get thirsty. When that first little drink of water hits you, how refreshing is that? See, that's what we get in Christ. That doesn't end if we trust him. And the hard part for me is I don't. I'm just like, man, that water's good, Jesus. That Coke over there, that Coca-Cola, I don't know. That's what we do, ain't it? Ain't that what we do? I'm guilty of it. But when I go to him, he refreshes my soul. I love this part, and this is where we see he guides us along paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he shepherds us to the narrow way that leads to life instead of the broad road that leads to destruction. And then this is where I'm used to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow, that's that KJV, I'm sorry. This says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, many of us know it as the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Like, even in death, he is with us. I want you to think about something, though, for real, as I was getting ready for this, because some of us right now, it's just a season where you're going through grief, and I understand, and I believe most of us can say we know what the holidays feel like without someone here. I don't know about you, how many of us have died before? None of us, right? But you see, Jesus knows the way through death to life. Think about that. Even in that, that's why he is with us in our grief. That's why when he was, before Lazarus was risen from the dead, he cried like he felt that. He wept. That's that verse, Jesus wept. He knows what it's like to shepherd us through death to life. And so for us, as we see that, and so for us, as we know that, I want us to see, I will fear no evil, like, all the way through, like, he can shepherd us through the darkest valley or through the valley of the shadow of death. And I don't know about you, but I want to follow somebody that knows the way through that. I don't want to have some big tomb that looks like a great big triangle where people throw everything in, and about 1,000, 2,000 years, people uncover me, and they're like, ooh, a golden mummy. Like, think about that. No. I don't need any of that. I want someone, the only thing I need is Jesus, because I can't carry anything with me. I don't have to have you prepare me to go. Jesus is already leading the way right now. So for each and every one of us, I just want to say, maybe right now you say, well, I don't know about evil. I will fear no evil. You go back to that old school, no fear. I will fear no evil. Some folks right now will say there is no evil in the world. Everyone is inherently good. Evil is subjective. And I just want to ask you, do you cheer for the Grinch at the beginning of the movie or the end of the movie? At the end of Whoville, do you cheer for the Grinch when he steals everyone's presents? Are you just like, his heart is what, 10 times too small? Because if that's the case and we can agree on that, then evil is not subjective. Hey, better question. Here's the good one. How many folks lock their doors at night? Evil's not subjective. If evil is subjective, then the person who broke in your house and stole everything, that wasn't evil to them. So we can agree there's evil in the world. We can agree there's good in the world. And the good news is Jesus is the good shepherd to show us what the good is so that we can understand that. And so for us, wherever you are, when we don't fear evil, it's because we know Jesus and he leads to life. So really quickly when it comes to that, one more thing on this. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. So I love this time of year. Candy canes always make me think of shepherd staffs. I don't know why. I know there's something behind it. I don't remember the story. I know it was probably told to me a million times as a kid. Very sorry. But when it comes to a shepherd's staff, it always has that hook on it, right? Your rod and your staff. So that hook, this staff, where a shepherd is whenever a sheep would get out of line, they throw that staff on its neck and pull it back in place. When it just gets a little out of line, you know, the line's a shambles, as the commercials say. They roll it back in. So Jesus is the good shepherd bringing us back in line to be on the paths of righteousness that lead to life. So the staff was used for the direction of the sheep. The direction of the sheep. The rod was used for the correction of the sheep. See, we find with direction from the shepherd, but we don't like the correction, do we? See, the correction is something that's important for us to grow to be all we were created to be. The correction happened not when the sheep got a little out of line, but the sheep was three hills over and the shepherd had to go get it to rescue it. And I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. That beautiful picture of Jesus with that lamb around his neck, it wasn't that he had the lamb around his neck and the lamb could walk. Usually what happened is if a sheep got way out of the way of the pack, the shepherd would have to break its leg, bring it back in the pack. And the reason it broke its legs was to make sure it understood the importance of staying with the flock. We don't like our legs broken, but sometimes it's the best thing for us. We heard through our story series how Jesus breaks us to bless us. And so the rod is important. The rod is used for correction. Spare the rod, spoil the child. We say that all the time. The rod is used for correction. The staff is used for direction. I got to make sure I say that well. We're online. The staff is used for direction. The rod is used for correction. But here's the other thing the rod did and the staff did. On the sheep, what would happen is they would run that over the wool because a sheep could have diseased skin, and without looking at the wool, you wouldn't even know it. So the most diseased sheep looks really, really healthy. Sometimes Christmas, people put on everything to look like they're okay and they're healthy. Now they show up at Christmas and Easter, you know, and that's a great thing. We're so thankful that folks come in, but I will tell you, Jesus loves you enough. He wants to be with you more than Christmas and Easter. You don't have to pretend like it's all okay. You can lay it all down to him. So all the way through, this is this moment where we have to understand at times we're going to see the Lord pull back and show whether we're dealing with disease or dealing with the skin. So here we go, one more time. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you prepare a table before me. Let me ask you, David, when he wrote this, did it say that David prepared the table? No, you. So the Lord prepared the table. Here's where we don't like it. In the presence of who? My enemies. Will we pull out a chair for those who we think are our enemies? See, the thing is, before Christ, the people we think are our enemies are the very ones we want to dine with after Christ so we can point them to him. And through Christ, we can do that. Through Christ, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're suffering through, no matter what we're walking through, even if the table is prepared before us and the people that, even if it's the people that hurt us, Jesus can prepare the table. Because what they did to us, yes, I can promise you, we've all walked through hurt. We've gone through that before, and we've talked through that here and sharing that. But let me ask you something. Through Christ, isn't he more important than what's happening here right now? Because you never know. I know I'm going to give you this crazy thing, I know, but I will promise you, you never know what happens tomorrow. Don't give up the opportunity to share Christ. Yes, just because you have Jesus means that you're going to be in eternity with him. and you trust Him as your Lord and Savior. You've confessed and you repented of your sins, but doesn't mean you're on a street corner yelling at people, "I'm just trying to go to the wrestling match. I know it's terrible. I'm not going to hell for that." That's not what I'm talking about. I mean sharing the love of Christ. My cup, you anoint my head with oil. So the shepherd would take and put oil on the sheep to keep the fleas away, to keep the fleas and the ticks away. Don't go home and put oil on your dog. Maybe that works, I don't know. But to keep the flea and ticks away, you know why? If a sheep got a flea in its ear, it would bang its head on a rock and kill itself. You ever get that little earworm? Satan gives you that little earworm? That lie he keeps whispering to you? He can't get rid of it? Remind him that in the Lord you're anointed. And the Lord, you're set apart. And the Lord, your seat's already at the table. He's already set you up. Stop trying to set up your own table. Trust Him. He set up the table. So for each and every one of us, our head is anointed with oil. I could go all the way over and over about this, but one more thing about that. When the table is prepared, the sheep not only get mad if they get a flea, but they'll eat anything. They're like dogs. They'll eat anything, man. Like, you know what it is? They'll eat anything. So the shepherd, when it says it prepares the table, he gets the pasture ready so that they eat the right stuff. Bah. They eat the right stuff, right? Like, here we go. They eat the right stuff. And it says, for that, because we are anointed in Christ, we overflow. So surely goodness and mercy will follow us, or surely goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So all the way through, this is what Jesus is shepherding us through. He's shepherding us through the darkest valleys. He's shepherding us through zero bank accounts, negative bank accounts, through political strife, through culture wars. Jesus is shepherding us through it all, and He is leading the way if He is your Lord and Savior. But here's what He really ultimately is shepherding us to. And it's not going to be on the screen for you, so hang in here with me. Revelation 7, if you ever read End Times, if you've ever seen anything on TV, people talk about the end times. Hey, if you have somebody knock on your door early on a Saturday morning, they're going to talk about Revelation 7. And I would challenge you to bring them to Revelation 7 and John 1. Revelation 7 is about the 144,000 being sealed in the tribulation and how they are set apart all the way through. And then John sees them going to heaven. And at the end of that chapter, in verse 17, it talks about Jesus shepherding us to something. And it says this, and this will make sense for the Vine Code here in a second, okay? The Lord is at the center of the throne, and He will be their shepherd. And He will lead them to living water, and God will wipe away every one of their tears from their eyes. At the center of the throne, Jesus is the center. He is the head of all, the Lord of all, the King of kings, but He is at the center of the throne. This is where that comes from. Jesus, the good shepherd, is bringing us to the center of the throne to lead us to living waters. And through leading us to living waters for each and every one of us, we will not only dwell with Him forever, but that is where you hear every tear will be wiped from your eyes. That is what He is leading us to. He is leading us to that, which leads us to where we are today. Christmas PJ. How many of us have Christmas PJs? Like, how many of us have a tradition? I know I've shared this before, so I'm going to share it again with Christmas PJs. Yeah, all of us, right? I did. So for me growing up, we always got to open one gift on Christmas Eve. I don't know if we really did PJs much, but that was like the Christmas tradition the night before. So most of the time you get these. I didn't live in a house with stairs, so I didn't get to do the old, you know, stair step up kind of thing. But all the way through, most of us have Christmas PJs. We all have that. So why do we wear Christmas PJs? What's exciting about that is we're looking forward to Santa coming, right? Like, we're looking forward to family. We're looking forward to the next day. Well, that's what this season is about, this Advent season. We're looking forward to the Messiah to come. And what we get to do on this side of the cross is celebrate that. So all the way through, what this means is Advent literally means the arrival of something. Christmas PJs, we're looking for the arrival of something. And I said it earlier, on December 26th, that arrival's come and gone. You ready for to lose some weight on January 1st, if it ain't in Jesus. But in Jesus, you can know. He can lead you to that. So all the way through, this is the arrival of Christmas. So this is where we are. This is coming to the end. This is the hammer hitting the nail on the head. This is where we are when it comes to shepherding. Christmas makes us stop and deal with God. Christmas, it comes in darkness. Dark, not light. Christmas doesn't come in on the beach, at the cabana, or wherever you are, chilling, watching the waves. I can't do that. Even SPF 100, I'm getting sunburnt now thinking of the sand. But wherever you are, this isn't when Christmas comes. Christmas comes in the darkness. Jesus born at night. The shepherds see the angels at night. Christmas shows itself in darkness. Why? Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and formless. Darkness covered the deep of the land. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He saw that it was good. He separated the light and the darkness. He called the light day and the dark night. And there was morning and evening the first day. From the beginning, it was darkness. Christmas shows up in darkness. All of a sudden, Genesis 3 happens. We decide that we can take care of ourselves better than being in the light forever. So we choose sin that leads us to darkness. And God says, there's going to be a way through this. The light's going to come. He looks at Satan and says, "We'll strike his heel, but he will crush your head." So much so, Christmas shows up in the darkness. Mary and Joseph, like, I don't know. How many of us see Mary and Joseph traveling in the daytime? Think about that. Look at all the cartoons that's ever been drawn. How many times do they travel in the day? I don't know. Maybe they do that now. I'm old. But it was always at night, right? The wise men always showed up at night. Why? Because they followed a star. And we think the light stopped there. There was no more darkness, right? All of a sudden, there was no more darkness. But if you go to the cross from 12 to 3, if you look at Mark's account, there was darkness over the land. When Jesus said, "God, why have you forsaken me?" And he lifts his spirit up, there is darkness over the land. But then he rises again and the light shows bright. So where is he shepherding us then? Darkness. Revelation 22:5 says this: "There will be no more night. They will no longer need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, but God will be their light, and they will dwell with him forever." That's the last chapter of the Bible, the last book of the Bible. What started in darkness, Christmas reveals in light. In light. How many of you like your lights off on your tree at night? Think about that. You don't. You gotta light it up. Light it up. I'm just kidding. That's Fallout, but whatever. Wherever you are. Probably got kicked off the internet because I said that, but I want to make sure CCLI, I'm just kidding, we'll make sure we get all that on there. Light reveals itself in darkness. Why am I sharing this with you? Right now, you think you're in the darkest season ever. You may think God can't love you. You may think that darkness is something that you are Bane, and you are trying to be a part of the darkness before light. Like, you are stuck, and you think it's never going to get any better, and that maybe, just maybe, one day the light will come to you. Maybe, just maybe, one day it'll happen, and you keep putting on Christmas PJs. You switch the top. You switch the pants. You just keep going back and forth and back and forth. This year it's going to be different. This year it's going to be different. It comes and goes, and you're saying, "God, why am I eternally stuck in darkness?" And it's because you are trying to turn on the light. The light's already come. For each and every one of us, see, it's a matter of who our shepherd is. When I say who our shepherd is who have we given our life to? What is our ultimate treasure? What is the thing that we seek? See, the shepherds, did they go buy Christmas gifts? Did they try to do anything with the lambs? Did they try to do anything with the Passover lamb? Like, this was a symbolic thing. They left religious system to go trust the lamb, to see the lamb. So for each and every one of us, instead of being stuck in darkness, I wonder if you would see the light. See, all of us right now, I just want to say, you wear Christmas PJs. If your treasure is what's under the tree, the gift that's under the tree, it will come and go. Definitely on December 6th. But if your treasure is the gift of Christmas that is Christ, who hung on a tree for us, it won't come and go. It'll be with you forever. And so right now, that's what we share with the world. Not the gifts that we give. The gift that has been given for us. And so for us, I don't know about you, I'm so thankful in Jesus, I ain't got to keep changing my PJs. Because I'm closed in him. And I'm wearing my Christmas PJs because I know where I'm going to be in eternity. This little 80 years I get on earth ain't nothing compared to the 80 million to come. It ain't going to make a lick of difference. I'm going to be up in my little kudzu shack. You know the pastor joke. And I'm fine with that. As long as I can get some mac and cheese up in this piece, I'm going to be happy. So Jesus, let's do it. So all the way through, I'm excited. I don't have to change Christmas PJs. I get to wear Jesus's Christmas PJs, and I get to be clothed in that. In every season, through the darkest valley, where it seems like there's no provision and there is good provision, where it seems like it's hopeless, he is my hope. Where it seems like I have no anchor and I'm tossed to and fro, he is my anchor. That is what we get to do, and that is what Christmas is about. But I didn't do anything to earn it. None of us did. Did the shepherds do anything to earn the angels coming to them? Hey, did Mary just give this amazing sacrifice? And God's like, that's the one. That's the one I'm going to give to my son. That's the one I want my son to be born to. Did Joseph just build this awesome farmer's table? God was like, my dude, Chip and Joanna are going to steal that one day. My dude, like, that's it. I'm going to let him be Jesus' earthly father. Did Mary do anything to be able to go to the tomb first and bring the good news back to the disciples? Did Tyler West do anything to be saved by Jesus? Nope. I can only receive it. See, some of us right now, again, we're stuck in this time. We think one day it's going to line up. One day I'll get it right. I got to sow my wild oats. I got to get it all figured out. When the time is right, I'll give my life to Christ. But Paul says this in Romans 5, verse 6 through 8, and I love it. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the godly and the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In spite of us, that's the best Christmas gift of all. Not the Black Friday sale we got to take advantage of, that'll still be going in, hopefully in Valentine's. Not the best gift we've ever given, not the best or worst Christmas or whatever that looks like. The best gift of all is Jesus Christ. And so today, I hope that you and pray that you are reminded, if you were in Christ Jesus, regardless of everything else that's going on, you're clothed in him. And he's better, being clothed in him is better than anything else. You don't even have to pick out your wardrobe. Like, you're just clothed in him. Now, please don't come to church that way. We'll have some issues. But, you're clothed in him. For the rest of you that don't know Jesus, aren't you tired of changing clothes, man? Like, come on. Every year you say, I'm gonna be better. You can't. I can't be better on our own. You can have all the affirmations in your life. The only affirmation you need is from Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Jesus Christ lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live. Gave his life for us, dying, paying the penalty for our sin on the cross, and loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we can live out heaven on earth now. We can be who we were created to be now. We don't have to wait. And when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the only affirmation you need to hear is welcome to the family. Welcome home. Here's your seat at the table. It's provided for you. And so for us, the reason we do what we do every week is not just to be reminded of who Jesus is to us that are in him, but for those to find him for the very first time. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to pray this prayer out loud here in a second. And this, again, what we're praying is in faith. Again, like I said, all of us have sinned. Maybe you believe you haven't sinned, and you say, you got me with that evil thing, but I don't think I've ever sinned. And I just want to say, have you ever lied to your parents, or have you ever disobeyed your parents? You've sinned. We've all sinned. When mama said no and you said yes, that was sin. And all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus says if we've broken one sin in the law, we've broken them all. So in other words, we all have this thing called sin. And what Christmas does is it deals with it for us. Jesus has come. Lives that perfect sinless life you and I couldn't live. And he didn't do it just so that he could be on a pedestal and he could wear the t-shirt, I'm the best. He didn't do that. No. He did that for us and said, hey, even though I did that and I lived the perfect sinless life for you, I came down in the flesh for you, I'm actually going to pay the price of your sin. And he dies for us. See, sin only leads to death. It leaves us in darkness, groping, trying to find things that satisfy in the darkness without light. But Jesus came to be the light for us and said, hey, I'm going to pay that price for you because you don't have to die. Not on this earth, but for eternity. Then he loved us enough, he didn't stay dead. He said, I didn't just live the perfect life so that I could wear the shirt. I did it for you. I didn't just die the death that you deserved on the cross for you just so that I could pity you or shame you or guilt you. No. He rose again because he said, I came so that you can live life to the full. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we pray out loud as a family for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. And in this prayer, we're just going to confess and repent our sins. And we're going to trust that Jesus is who he says he is, and him being Lord of our life, the ultimate treasure that we seek. So please, everyone, repeat these words out loud with me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the house or you're online, and it's the first time you can say you have prayed that prayer in faith, you have confessed and repented of your sins and received Jesus and surrendered your life to him as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to, on the count of three, to boldly raise your hand. One, two, three. If you're in the house, if you're in online, if you're listening throughout the week, you can raise your hand too. Hey, maybe you don't want to raise your hand. That's totally fine. You can reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. or 864-580-6698. And for the rest of us, as we go, for the rest of us, I just want to be in this moment. I know we all have a lot going on right now, and I just want us, I'm going to pray before we go into worship here, because sometimes I will tell you, I'm so guilty of it myself. That old little town of Bethlehem, it seems so far away, doesn't it? Seems so far away, like, okay, I gotta go on the journey to Bethlehem, but Jesus brought Bethlehem to us. So as we see this, I'm just going to say, I'm going to pray for us. So dear Jesus, as we come into this moment of worship with you, I just pray that right now we all got a lot going on, I understand. We all got a lot in the season. Even this morning, Jesus, Satan has tried to come in and rob us of some peace, rob us of being able to have a postured heart towards you. And Jesus, I just pray that we would lay that down right now. Because Jesus, you are before all things. Jesus, you are over all things. And so, Jesus, would we trust you as our provision? Would we trust you as our Savior? Would we receive this free gift that you came to give us? Would we trust you today? And as we go to worship, Jesus, I just pray that we would leave here better than how we came in, and that we would go to the streets as the shepherds did to share this thing that is you, this salvation, the hope of the gospel that only you can bring. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see the light above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. The dark night waves and glory breaks. The child.
All right, well, we are so thankful you have gathered with us today. Next week is Dress as Your Favorite Christmas Character Sunday. G-rated, guys. G-rated. Let's not. But we're going to have fun with that. We hope that you join us. It's going to be our Heart for the House Offering Sunday, where we're going to get to be the hands and feet to Jesus to our community, because we are so thankful that someone was that for us, and we get to share it with them. Have an awesome week. We can't wait to see you next Sunday. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.